trust is in you. Ancient of days, my trust is in you.
Aleluya, aleluya. thank you, Lord, that you have not forsaken us. You've not left us to our own devices. You are the present God, the God who has loved us with an everlasting love, the God who heals us, the God who restores our souls, the God who shepherds us and causes us to lack nothing. You are the God who has redeemed us and delivered us from all destructions, the God who has made a way for us where there is no way. You are our peace giver. You are the God who restores our souls. And Lord, O God, today we acknowledge your lordship of our lives. We thank you, Lord, O God, that your faithfulness is demonstrated daily in us, with us, through us, and for us. And this day we can boldly say that you are sovereign over our lives. We belong to you. And oh, Father, thank you that we can say you belong to us too. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. We position ourselves now to receive your word. Let your word sent accomplish that which it is sent for and cause us to be transformed. In Jesus' mighty name, we say it so done. Amen. Praise God. It's good to have you this evening. We had a wonderful time, I believe, this morning, going through some fundamentals of the gospel, talking about the love of God which passeth knowledge. Now, the word of God says to us that we experience the love of God because we have listened, obeyed the instructions of the Lord, and also that instruction being the loving of one another. And in Proverbs chapter 3, which is a passage of scripture I want to talk about, talk with us about this evening, the word of God says, "My son." That is a very personal word, my son. Sons are birth in many ways. You can have a son because you give birth to that son and that's your child. But sons are also individuals that have come under your care and see you as one that is of primary importance in their lives. Now, a son, in that sense, doesn't necessarily have to be somebody younger than you. I have sons and daughters that are way older than I am, but they address me as their spiritual father. Now, I have sons that are younger. So this statement embraces all, everyone who sees and gives honor to a particular person. And the word of God says that we need to honor our fathers and our mothers and that it might be well with us. He says, yes, my son, forget not my law. Don't forget my law. The Lord Jesus Christ says to us in the Gospel of John, this is a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That's a law. It's a commandment. And if no other commandment, understand that that is primary. Because he reduces all of the commandments to two basic commandments. Actually, you may reduce the two to one. Talks about the loving of God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, your mind, everything about you. Love God. He says, and the second is like the first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so basically God is saying, I want you to love me completely. And the loving of me completely is in the loving of yourself and the loving of others. So basically all of the commandments get reduced to one. You know, when we're doing math, or arithmetic, we had the idea of reducing to the common denominator. Now, that's the common denominator about this spiritual commandment, love. Love God, love your neighbor, as you love yourself. It says all of the commandments hinge on that. Now it says, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Let your heart keep my commandments. Let your heart keep. Now, what does that word mean? It means to appreciate the commandments of God. Not sar is the word. Appreciate it, guard it, fight for it, make sure it's not taken from you, obey it. All of that are captured in that word, nasar. Keep my commandments. Fight to do it. There might be things that may come your way that want to make you not to obey it. Fight to do the right thing. If it costs you everything, do it. Pursue it. Keep it. Guard it. Uphold it. Maintain it. Obey it. He says, when you do that, when you fight for that, when you obey that instruction, he says, it's going to do something for you for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Oh, wait a minute. The word of God says, evil people shall not live half of their days. And here the word of God says, in loving, in obeying the commandments of God, that your days and your life can be lengthened. So you can live longer than you needed to live. You get an extra just simply because you're obeying the commandments of God. He says, for length of days. Now, length of days, you see, every day has 24 hours. You cannot change that. It's 24 hours. So what does it mean, length of days, then? It means that you will achieve every day more than you could have achieved if you had the 24 hours. In other words, what you would have achieved if the days were 30 hours or 40 hours, you'll achieve. What you would have achieved in a year, you'll achieve in 6 months or 3 months, just because you're operating in the graces of God. So God begins to make you efficient. Somebody say efficient. Efficient. You know, you're not burning all that gas and getting no results. I drive a hybrid, and the hybrid uses electricity and fossil fuel. Now, because it uses both, I'm able to cover more mileage with a hybrid than I will cover if I were just burning straight gas. Are we together so far? That's Lent. God is saying, when you honor me, when you obey my commandments, I'm going to do something that's going to change things for you. He says it's going to lengthen your days, and it's going to give you long life. Well, that's great. And long life, long life. Well, I'm 80-something. I'm 90-something. That's long life. But this is what it said. Shall they add to thee? What is adding this? Your obedience to the word of God. Your keeping of the word of God. It says there's an assignment given to your obedience, that your obedience makes it possible for you to experience increase, make you more efficient, make you more successful, causes you to experience peace when you should be disturbed. It will add peace to you. When your peace is about to be drained out of you, here comes your obedience and says, yeah, top it up, top it up, top it up. So you are operating in the peace of God and continuing in the peace of God when others are falling apart already. You're still going on. Like the energizer bunny, just keep on going. How are you able to do that? Why aren't you falling apart yet? Well, I've been listening to the word of God and obeying it. Well, don't tell me that's the answer. I don't know what else to tell you. The word of God says. Then it says this. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't let mercy and truth forsake you. The word of God tells us that by mercy and truth are iniquities purged. So God is saying, don't let mercy, the exercise of mercy, whether it is you receiving it or you extending it, don't let it forsake you. Bind mercy, bind truth to thy neck. What is that about? Binding it about thy neck. What is the role of the neck? Well, the neck holds my head above my shoulders, the rest of my body, but my neck is the mechanism that God put in place to be able to help me turn my head. In essence, the word of God says, bind mercy and truth around your neck so that everywhere you look, whatever it is that you're doing, you are focused on mercy and truth. He says, write them upon the table of thine heart. Write what? Mercy and truth. Write it on the table of your heart. This is how I want you to think all the time. Mercy, truth. Mercy, truth. Do not divorce those two. If all you have is mercy and there's no truth, you live in a world of lies. If all you have is truth and no mercy, you live in the world of criticism. You have to have both. This is wrong, but I'm extending mercy. This is right, I enforce it. You have to have both operational in your life. I have to have both operational in my life. Because with those two, wrong patterns are eradicated. Then it says, because you're extending mercy and truth and you've not allowed it to be be forsaken, or you've not separated yourself from mercy and truth, he said, this now will then happen in your life. He says, that's how you're going to find favor. You're going to find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and the sight of man. But if you're not extending mercy and truth to others, don't expect it to come back to you. Let me say that again. If you don't extend mercy and truth to others, don't expect it to come to you. Mercy and truth are powerful forces that you must allow to align with your life as an individual. When I think about all the situations where I have found favor, in places that I cannot explain, and I cannot explain why, but favor came. Good understanding came. Care came. When I didn't even know what I needed, it was provided. It happens because God calls us to watch out for each other. Have you gone out of your way to help somebody? It might just be you're in the mall or somewhere and you open the door for somebody. You say, oh, that's not much. That's nothing. No, in the sight of God, that's everything. You made somebody's life easier by holding the door open for them. Oh, they're going to think that I am a nobody, that I don't feel like I'm important. Being a blessing opens doors for you. There are people that the other day, somebody was having a problem with a particular problem, situation. I picked up a phone and I called the ambassador of a particular country to solve the problem. You say, how did you know that person? Well, I got to know that person, even though I've not met him, because I knew somebody else who gave me the number of the ambassador. Says, this is the person you need to call. That's favor. It's favor. Favor will open doors for you. The Word of God says Jesus increased in wisdom. He increased in stature, influence, and he increased in favor with God and man. You need both. You don't just need the favor of God. You need the favor of man. Because man runs things here. Did you know that? I know you do. That's why you need to treat people right. Because people can block you. I'm going to pray. People can block you, and they can block you successfully if you've not learned how to extend mercy and truth and seeking the heart of God and being a blessing to people. People will block you. If you've spent your time blocking other people, you're guaranteed to be blocked. If you spend your time hindering somebody else, guaranteed you are going to be hindered, and God cannot help you. Let me say that again. And God cannot help you. Because you are breaking a fundamental law, the law of loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. I don't know why things are not happening well for me. Check it out. Are you treating somebody else? Are you talking to others? Are you dealing? Are you being fair in your dealings, in your business, in your actions? Mercy and truth, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. This morning, I was talking about love, and where love is operational, there's understanding. Well, I understand why you did that. Might not be right, but I understand how you could have come to this particular position and done such a thing. Now let's find a way to restore. That's what happens. We need to walk wisely. Well, I don't know about this good understanding and, you know, cutting the slack for other people. They might think I'm a pushover. And God says, trust me. Trust me. I'm not a pushover because I forgave you. So forgive. In the Lord's Prayer, he says to us, after we honor him as Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. It says, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Actually, let's go to that passage of scripture in Matthew 6 and we'll come back here to Proverbs 3. The word of God says, right here, in the 11th verse, it says, 11, give us this day our daily bread. Now, we've done some teaching on that, that the daily bread is not necessarily hamburgers and KFC chicken and whatever else, a nice steak. It is about service. Give me my daily assignment. Jesus, our Lord, said, my bread is to do the will of the Father and to finish it. That's your daily bread, the assignment that God gives you. So give us this our daily bread. And then it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then it goes on and tells us what it says to us in verse 13. And then in verse 14, after giving us all of that information about honoring the Father, about forgiveness and daily bread and all of that, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. He goes back to this fundamental point in verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you forgive, you also be forgiven. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In essence, you are loaded with sin on your life, with all of your hallelujahs. Your sin is restored back to you because you did not forgive, because you did not extend mercy and truth. Now you do not have the favor of God. And he goes back there and tells us, this is what you got to do. You got to forgive. Oh, well, I'm going to fast it away. No, you can't. You're not going to fast it away. Now, see the same thing happening in Mark 11, the Lord Jesus Christ talks about, if you have God's kind of faith, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. And if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. Then it goes past that point and says, Therefore I say unto you, in verse 24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. This great exercise of faith, moving mountains, and says, but I tell you what, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have ought against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. In essence, your prayer is not going to get answered. You're not going to move any mountains. You want mountains to move? Exercise the loving kindness of forgiveness. But you don't know what my husband said to me. You don't know what my wife said to me. You don't know what my boss did. You don't know this. Don't tie yourself up based on what they did. Free yourself. These are spiritual laws. And says if you keep these laws, it's going to extend your days, extend your life, extend the peace that you have in your life. How many believers are struggling in their minds? It's saying, the devil is oppressing me. No devil is oppressing you. You're oppressing yourself. Go back to ground level and say, who am I holding a grudge against? Because that's the pathway the enemy has been using to come into your life. So the word of God says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. In everything that you're doing, acknowledge God. Proverbs 3. In all of your ways, acknowledge God. And he shall direct thy path. Because you acknowledge him, he directs your path. He directs the way that your life is going to be. Sometimes the direction of God's path in your life might look like a meandering. I thought we were going this way. How come we're coming back this way? Well, because God sees something over there that you don't see. And there's an enemy waiting for you over there, and he's taking you this way to get you over that way while they're still waiting. And they'll wait for the rest of their lives. You know, some guys decide, you know, and swore that they are going to kill Paul. They swore, we're not going to eat, we're not going to drink, we're going to get rid of Paul. Guess what? If they honored that commitment, they're all dead while Paul kept on going. Paul did not have anything against them. And God is saying to you and I, listen, acknowledge me in everything that you're doing. That's your act of humility. Well, I know everything. I know exactly what to do. I've been by here before, and I'm trained in this, and blah, 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 blah. Just humble yourself. That's what God says to me. That's what God says to you. Just humble yourself. Acknowledge me. It's not going to cost you anything. You're just acknowledging me. God, this is what I'm trying to do. And I just come before you right now and I ask for guidance. I ask for direction. Lord, put the right people in my path. People that are going to help me do what I need to do. And God, just because you acknowledge them, he will do the extra for you. But no. I know exactly what to do and how to do it. And you start your day not acknowledging God, and you're surprised when things are falling apart. I know, because I've been there. I remember one day just woke up and started driving, and the Lord says to me, "Be careful. Be very careful." I don't know how to drive. And just so I know that he was the one speaking to me, because he was telling me, "Be careful, you get into an accident." I was driving carefully. I know how to drive. Until I got to an intersection where another lady who was told by the boyfriend, "I think you're going to get into an accident today." She actually, when we're exchanging points, said, "Oh, I knew I shouldn't have driven this car because my boyfriend told me I was going to get into an accident today." And guess who got into that accident with her? Me, who did not acknowledge the Lord. He said, "Oh, that just happened." Guess what? Nothing happened to my car. There was not a dent. And this person that started moving and then decided to stop, and I decided to push on my brakes, and my car just kept on sliding. It just kept on sliding. And just tapped it. I didn't even feel the bump. So she kept on driving, and I was going my way and going to turn to Home Depot, and she's waving me, "Hey, where you going?" I said, "What is it? I can see your car, there's no damage." Got to the parking lot. "I think my bumper moved a little bit. I can't even see the movement." Guess what? I got demerits because of that. "Oh, that was nothing." No, it's something. You got to acknowledge God every day. "Lord, you are Lord over my life." Don't just wake up and start going. "I'm up." You know what that is, right? You brush your teeth, gargle and whatever else, and you're going. Really? Thank God for mercy. But sometimes we just think we know everything. Do you know how many devils are waiting to cause you problems? On a daily basis, they're committed to make sure that you that have been causing them problems, because you love God and you're preaching the gospel and whatever else, I'm going to get back at you. That's where you have to hide in the shelter and the protective graces of God. Because there's an enemy that doesn't wish you well, wants you to experience pain. And today you make a decision that you're going to acknowledge him. So the word of God says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes." Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Have a reverence for God. And depart from evil. Depart from evil. Now the departion from evil is not just I'm departing from lying, I'm departing from stealing, I'm departing from cursing, I'm departing from doing drugs, and it's all of that, but it's more than that. It's you, it's God saying, have a reverence for me and separate yourself from everything that is evil. That includes sickness, that includes poverty, that includes confusion, whatever. If it is evil, separate yourself from it. How are you going to do that? By not being wise in your own eyes. By just simply acknowledging that God is God and sovereign over your life. It says, when you have this ability to separate yourself from the wrong, he said, it's going to be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. When you do this, you get to honor God with all of your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, because you're in a love walk with God. And he says, this is how your barns are going to be filled with plenty and your presses burst out with new wine. I have something incredible in place for you, and the way you get to it is first and foremost, obey my commandment, the commandment of love. He says, this is how you're going to experience the fullness that God has for you. That's what the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you. Hallelujah. Amen. You expect me to speak for another 40 minutes, right? I can do it. Well, praise the Lord. Father, we are thankful for the grace that you have given to us. We thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Help us to embrace your word, to walk in the integrity of your word. Help us to live transformed lives. This is our earnest desire. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Let us trust Him who's given us life and empowered us to live victoriously. Our next gathering will be next Wednesday for Bible study, and then, of course, next Friday for prayer meeting. We bless those that have joined us today on Facebook and YouTube.